We are so fortunate in Wisconsin to have such a wealth of wildlife, and for people who enjoy fishing, I think it's really a paradise in many ways. There are a lot of different species to fish for. There's certainly something special, though, about going after trout. And Jay Thurston knows all about that. He's been fishing Wisconsin trout streams for 70 years?
70, going on 72 now, Larry.
72 years, and he wrote Spring Creek Treasure, Wisconsin's 100 Best Trout Streams. Interviewed him, I think, by phone about that. And this time around, he's with us in the studio for his most recent book, Spring Creek Reward, which I really enjoyed reading. And Jay, really great to have you back on the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here, Larry.
I really appreciate it. And it really, it's amazing. 72 years. How'd you get started with it?
Well, I was born and raised in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan around all kinds of trout streams. And there was no trespassing signs in the UP. We could go anywhere. And as long as far as our legs would take us, we would walk to the nearest trout stream.
What's really incredible is that you've been a meticulous. We were just interviewing or talking about Increase Lapham. In some ways, you're like him because you kept very accurate and meticulous records.
Yes, since 1975, I've kept track of every trout that I have caught over 10 inches long. Also, the time of day I caught it, the weather conditions, and what lure I caught it on. So after a while, some things begin to fall in place, and you can see some patterns taking place.
Well, I really enjoy reading your book because you talk about those data, but you've got all these great fishing stories about the fish and other people and yourself, and that makes for a fascinating read.
I was fortunate to know a lot of good fishermen that I've been able to fish with over the years. I probably fished with some of the very best trout fishermen in Wisconsin, and that was an honor for me to be able to do that.
What makes Wisconsin such a wonderful place for trout?
Well, the climate to begin with, of course, and for example, the further south you go, the warmer it is, and you get down to Florida, and there aren't any trout streams in Florida.
Right.
But we have 13,000 miles of trout stream in Wisconsin. And it's more than we had 30 years ago. We had about 11,000 miles. A lot of the additional miles have taken place in the Driftless region where I live. And part of that is because of better conservation taking place, also habitat improvement. And one of the things we've learned is that since 1950, our trout streams in the Driftless region are flowing with 2% more water each decade. That's cold spring water at 48 degrees. So now they are more than 10% larger, 12, 13, 14% larger than they were in 1950. So we gain miles that way, too, by better conservation.
And, you know, you kind of think about what's going on out west.
Yes.
With no water.
Yes, global warming is having a tremendous impact there. Well, it isn't in the Driftless region because 90% of our water is that cold spring water. Only 10% comes from runoff, unlike the glaciated region where about 10% come, or 50% comes from runoff and about 50% from their spring water. So the water that's coming off the surface is warm to surface temperature. And actually, the streams in Marquette or in Marinette County, many of them, are flowing warmer right now than they are in Vernon County, much further south.
And you had some astonishing number for me as I was reading the book about the number of trout per mile.
Yes, yes. Many of our streams in Vernon County and the surrounding area will have up to 3,000 trout per mile. A lot of that is due to habitat improvement where we have more cover for trout because trout need to be in shaded areas. They need cover. And by placing lunker structures in the bank, we provide cover for them.
Jay Thurston, our guest. And I need to invite you as you listen in to join in. Do you fish trout in Wisconsin? Do His observations, we're going to be talking about some more specifics of his observations and how they may fit in with your own experiences. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. If you're a trout fisherman, have some questions for him, or maybe you've never fished trout and want to know more about it, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. And you can also post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And photos as well. Drake on Facebook posted photos of his favorite fishing spots and probably doesn't have a map of how to get to them. I haven't looked at it yet. But we've got some photos up, and I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to listen, are going to want to talk with you, Jay, for sure. You've learned a lot over the year, not only about the ideal conditions for trout to thrive, mm-hmm. but the ideal conditions to catch those trout. Mm-hmm. Let's talk, you know.
Yes, and two of those ideal conditions would be cloud cover and water temperature. Trout do not have eyelids, and the larger they are, the larger the pupil, so they have to seek shade, and cloud cover provides that for them. So you're more likely to find trout out from under cover and feeding when the day is overcast, and the darker the day, the better. A misty, rainy day is even better yet, and there is a story in my book about the greatest trout fishing secret that I learned from my dad about the misty, rainy day. Dad, my mother and dad were both school teachers, and they lived in Winter, Wisconsin, and out on the East Fork of the Chippewa River. And I came home from college after they were there for about a year, and Dad said, Jay, he says, I know how to catch a muskie every time I go fishing. I said, Dad, that isn't possible. So far, he says, it's worked. And I said, what do you mean, every time you go fishing? He says, I wait for the misty, rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, why that? And he said, well, it moves food around. And I think the muskie come out from in the weeds and start moving around. And, you know, you notice the little ducks going after flies and things when there's a misty rain out there. And muskie feed on ducks, you know.
Well, I tell you what, I fished Lake Winter many times, and I probably caught 40 muskie at least.
Wow!
On that, out of that lake. Well, great. I returned most of them. But mm-hmm. Misty, rainy day was really the best. I once caught 8 in an hour and a half
on a rainy day,
and it cleared up, and just like that, they quit biting.
that's what happens with trout too, Larry. You know, it clears up, and you might as well quit and go home because the trout are going to sleep.
Well, so cloudy conditions, but you really also temperature.
Yes. Yeah, temperature is extremely important. And I was amazed at what trout can identify as far as temperature is concerned. Less than 0.1 degree, they will identify a change in cold or warm. As a result, you know, we're sitting outside in the patio and it has to drop 4 or 5 degrees before we begin to feel uncomfortable and have to get a jacket. Mm-hmm. Well, trout begin to feel that with 0.1 degree. So by the time the water temperature drops 1 degree, the trout have long quit feeding. They like the temperature to be warming and going up to 63 degrees. So your best temperatures really for fishing trout are 45 to 63. Mm-hmm. Above 63, there's quite a bit less oxygen in that water. The warmer water has less oxygen. And with each degree, there's quite a fall off. And so the trout begin to really slow down above 63 degrees.
And turbidity, I think that's one other key too, is it not?
Yes, it is. I have found that when there is some turbidity in the water where they can see your fly or spinner, let's say 2 or 3 feet, that's just about right, because that gives them confidence to come out, and that helps to provide shade, too.
Yeah. Jay Thurston, our guest today, he is the author of Spring Creek Reward. That's one of his latest book, anyway, on trout fishing. Mark in Berlin, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm just wondering if he has ever fished Mariner County and what stream he enjoys fishing, what kind of equipment he uses, and if there's any better place than a trout stream in late September.
Mark, excellent question. I certainly enjoy fishing late September, and I have caught my most trout in late September. I was catching 21 an hour for 3 hours for a total of 63. So late September is wonderful. I have fished Marinette County, the Border Brule, Pembon Juan, Middle Inlet. I have fished. I fished the Prairie River, which is south of there. So somewhat familiar with it because we travel back to the Upper Peninsula many times, my dad and I, and often stop to fish Marinette County, either coming or going.
Ah, there you go.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mark. And Tom in Nina, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Jay, I got a question for you.
Yes.
I'm a long-term Trout Unlimited member and trout fisher. In your experience, what do you think the greatest risk is in the future to our trout populations, and what can we as a public do about that? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Well, I guess there would be three conditions that I think would be the greatest. One would be the pollution of our groundwater. I think that is not only a hazard for trout, it's a great hazard for us. And it seems the more chemicals we put upon the land, and even heavy fertilizing our lawn with water running off, eventually causes a problem. Eventually, a lot of that does seep down into the groundwater and give us a problem. So that would be the first. Another one would be global warming. And I think in southwest Wisconsin, we're kind of ahead of the curve on this because 90% of our water comes out of the ground is cold water. Trout Unlimited is helping also to help keep our streams cold by habitat improvement, where the streams are deeper and narrower, so we have colder water a longer distance with habitat improvement taking place on our trout streams. A third thing that I think we need to be concerned about, and I've seen this particularly with higher prices of corn, some of the grass waterways are now a little bit shorter and not quite as wide as they used to be. And with global warming, we're getting some very, very heavy rains in this region, causing
the problems.
More erosion.
And we'll talk some more about that. We're going to take a quick look at the news weather, and then we will be right back with Jay Thurston. You stay with us. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. We're taking a look at fishing today and a bit about trout fishing. But I think we've got the author of a really great book. It's called Spring Creek Reward. That's the title of the book. The author, Jay Ford Thurston, is a wonderful writer, gifted writer. He's been fishing Wisconsin trout streams for 70 years, and frankly, I don't know anybody who knows more about trout fishing than Jay, or who can tell a better story.
Thank
you're
you,
a good
Larry.
Story. You had lots of good stories in your book.
Yes. Well, I've been fortunate to meet some interesting people that I fished with, too. And sometimes, you know, trout fishing has such an expanse to it that it fits into a lot of different things. For example, I was just thinking of the perfect trout day, you know, and I wrote about that in Spring Creek Reward. And the eighth characteristic of the perfect trout day was, I haven't figured it out yet. I have a lot yet to learn, Larry. I know that, because the more you learn, the more you have yet to learn. But I just figured out what the number eight one is this year. And it's so simple and so obvious, I couldn't figure it out. And that is, are the trout hungry?
Ah!
It's very simple.
Yeah.
But if the trout aren't hungry, regardless of whether you have the other seven in place or not, you're not going to do well.
you're right about that. Yeah. And that's true.
Yes.
If it's pretty much any kind of fishing.
Yeah, well, that's true. Right.
Doesn't have to be trout.
Right. Are the fish hungry?
I want to give our listeners a chance to join back in. We lost some callers right at the break, and I hope they call back. If you fish if you're a fisherman, or maybe you just fish trout or other fish, I hope you'll join in with your own questions, comments, or experiences as we visit with Jay Thurston. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page, and I hope you'll post some photos and questions there as well. And I'm going to go take a look at those in just a second on myself, because I've got the Facebook page right here to my left, and I'm going to check out the photos, because I know Karen on Facebook posted a fly fishing picture that she painted. We'll take a look at that. And Drake posted photos of his favorite fishing spots. You can post as well, or ask your questions. And I can see that the lines are filling up really quickly here, Jay. If somebody is interested in trout fishing or doesn't really know where to start, mm-hmm. what do you recommend as far as gear and location and so forth?
Well, I would recommend they buy my first book, which is Following in the Footsteps of Ernest Hemingway, when I really cover the basic fundamentals of trout fishing, how to wade the stream, and the fact that you should fish upstream.
Yeah.
Those are all very important. So first of all, you probably should get some good literature on how to fish trout. And then if you know somebody that does fish trout, it would be very valuable for you to fish with that person.
Absolutely. I couldn't emphasize that enough. Mm-hmm. It's not only for what you learn, but just mm-hmm. About the sort of the technique, but also a good fisher, somebody who really fishes well and is good, is also an environmentalist. There's a certain etiquette, and you talk about etiquette in your book mm-hmm. as well, to right. fishing. Right. You know, you're on a narrow stream, for example, you're going to run into other people. And
yes.
What do you do, and how do you approach?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wrote a chapter on the rules of the trout stream.
Yeah.
And some of those I borrowed from a Trout Unlimited chapter in New York State, and one which they mentioned that I had not heard of. And that is, the person fishing upstream has the right of way. And so I never really realized that, because I always fish upstream. So if you run into somebody fishing downstream, you can stay in the water and the other person needs to walk around you. And whenever you meet somebody on the trout stream, you should communicate with them to know how fast they're fishing and whether or not you can pass them on the stream, because they have the right of way if they were there before you were.
Yeah.
So, and if you're going to go by them, give them a lot of room. It's just courteous to do that.
Absolutely. Phil in Nakusa has a comment for us. Phil, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, gee whiz, this is a great program to talk about trout fishing. Reason being, I'm 84 now, and so I have a little more trouble wading, but I started fishing trout when I was 5 years old. So you can see I've got a few miles and hours on the streams. And I taught fly tying in Madison for 9 years when I was, younger. But the thing that I've noticed most over all of this period of time is, when I was a young kid, the best trout fishing was in northeast Wisconsin.
Yes.
And that was the Pike River and the Pine mm-hmm. River and Peshtigo and all those, in the upper parts of those streams. And then gradually, I fished the central Wisconsin, like the McCann River and the Chafee and the Wadey and all of those mm-hmm. During the mayfly hatches. And now I find that the best trout fishing and the biggest trout populations are in southwestern Wisconsin.
Yes, I would agree. That's why I live in Vernon County. Not only that, but the most trout streams are there. There's a chapter in my book, Spring Creek Reward, fishing 40 trout streams within 40 miles. And then I wondered, exactly how many trout streams do we have within 40-mile driving distance? And I estimated 200 plus or minus 10. However, John Duke Walter recently moved from Eau Claire to Vernon County, not far out of Viroqua.
Yeah,
and
well, Viroqua, we got the Bad Axe, and
yes.
it's a great stream. And then the stream that I fished right now lately has been the Little Lacrosse River.
Oh, yes.
And what's good about that is that it's the water is a little dirty.
Yes, yes. Well, that's very interesting because if you had asked me 30 years ago my favorite trout stream, it probably would have been the Little Lacrosse River for that very reason. But I wanted to get back to John Duke Welter. He moved here, and the first thing he did was to count the trout streams within 30 miles, by the way the crow flies. He came up with 197. So my estimated 200 is right about on. So lots
wow.
of trout streams. So, Phil, I've got a lot of trout streams to fish. And my I have a special place on Leon Creek, the Little Lacrosse River, that I'm going to be fishing in September.
Ah, there you go. Well, Phil...
Well, I was there last week, so and the trout are there.
Good to hear. Thanks a lot for your call, Phil.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate the call. Well, Jim in Green Bay with us next. Hi, Jim. Thank you for calling.
Well, I just happened to be driving through Green Bay, but I happen to have been a charter member of the Cooley Region TU Club. But I wanted to ask Jay if he's ever fished with the greatest fly ever developed, and with the guy that developed it. In other words, the beadhead pink squirrel.
Yes. There's a chapter in my book of fishing with John Bethke. And I call John Bethke the most complete angler I know, not just because of that great fly, the pink squirrel that he developed. By the way, he showed me exactly how to tie it.
Yeah, I know how to tie it.
But he also makes split bamboo fly rods and trout nets. So I call him the complete angler.
John taught me how to carve trout.
Oh, yes.
And I taught him how to make trout nets.
Oh, very good. Very good. Thank you for that.
So I still make them once in a while.
Oh, that's great.
Excellent.
I don't know if he's stolen it from me, but my key was I'd always insert a Indian head penny in the neck of the trout.
Oh,
so if you've seen any of those were mine.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jim, for calling. Appreciate your call. All right, so trout, you know, a trout, it's a net like that is... it's a special kind of net, isn't it?
Yes. And I did know somebody that made nets out of burls. And burls are kind of hard to find, but there are a lot of them, for example, on the cherry trees. I've seen many.
Yeah.
And so those are really, the handle on those nets are very special. I think you'd probably put that on your wall instead of a trout.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, Jim, thanks again. I want to give Kevin and Mondovi a chance to join us. Kevin, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was just wondering if you could give me information on the amount that the trout grow each year.
Oh, sure.
I've been having real good luck in places that I've been driving by for 25 years and never tried, like the Buffalo River between
yes.
Drum and Osseo.
Yes.
Is excellent for all three, but I was just wondering if you could shed some light on that.
Yes,
for me.
Yes. I used to fish the Buffalo, both branches, and I fished exactly where you mentioned. It's a great trout stream. In good water, particularly where we have limestone bedrock with lots of minerals in the water, because when the water seeps down through the earth and reaches limestone, it turns into a light acid, dissolves some minerals in the water, and it comes out as spring water. So where you have those kind of streams with a lot of minerals for development of food in the trout stream, we will have trout that will grow a half inch a month or as much as 6 inches a year. And that's tremendous growth. That's about as good as you can get.
Yeah.
Also in a lot of our streams with where we have like 3,000 trout, 4,000, 5,000, they tend to eat the small minnows before they get big, so we don't have growth food. 6-inch chubs to grow trout over 20 inches in a lot of our streams. So we're finding in southwest Wisconsin that we have fewer large trout over 17 inches, but we have a lot more trout in the 11 to 13-inch range.
Yep. Right. Just one more
sure.
quick one. How old? Then yesterday I caught a 15-inch, almost 2-pound brook trout.
Yes.
And how old would he have been?
That's a nice brookie.
Yes, that's a great brook trout.
Biggest one I've gotten.
My guess is that trout is probably 6 or 7 years old, but that's a guess. The average brown trout lives to be 9 years, and in southern Wisconsin, they'll live to be 10. So I would guess the brook trout might live about that long, too.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Kevin, and congrats on that catch. That's a nice brook trout for sure.
Yes.
I've never caught one that big. Tim and Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Hey, Jay. I just finished your book this spring, and I've been trout fishing for 17 years, and I've never fished in the summer, but this summer, like today, I'm going trout fishing.
Very good. Yes. Well, you probably read where I had found out recently the month that I caught my largest trout, those 17 inches and larger. I caught more in July than any other month. And that really surprised me because I was thinking September or March, April, for example. So, but there's a scientific reason why you can catch your biggest trout in July when the water's warmer, because they need more food in warmer water. Remember, trout are always the same temperature as the water they swim in. So at higher temperature water, 60, 61, 2, 3, they're consuming an awful lot of food. Their metabolism is working fast. They need a lot of food in July. Yeah?
Yeah, I have been fishing big water. Like, it's not, well, what I'm going to fish today isn't even trout water. It's not, designated trout water, but there's a lot of trout in there. I did have one question. What about the barbless? Back in the day, you had to use barbless hooks, and they changed that law, and so one year I didn't pinch my barbs down. I went back to pinching them down because you can just catch a lot more fish. They're a lot easier to unhook. You don't hurt any of the fish, and I don't think you lose. Maybe you lose one or two a season.
Well,
so what do you feel about the barbless?
Okay,
hook?
It was many years ago, but Dr. Robert Hunt, who's a research specialist on trout in Wisconsin, the late Robert Hunt, told me that barbless hooks penetrate deeper. And if the hook penetrates deep in the roof of the mouth, it can kill the trout. So there's both the good and the bad of the issue. You mentioned the good, the fact that you can release the trout much quicker. And the sooner you release the trout, the better the trout is likely to survive. But barbless hooks aren't necessarily the best way to go because of that deep penetration that the hook might have in the roof of the trout.
Hmm. So there's two sides to it.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. There you go, Tim. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. I want to give Ruth and Poisipi a chance to join us. By the way, you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We've got open lines to get you on pretty quickly. Ruth, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good afternoon, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
No record trout catching here. It does make me wax nostalgic for many years ago when you talked about the ideal trout conditions where it's kind of misty and rainy. And growing up on a dairy farm in central Wisconsin, Portage County, those would be one of the few days that a little girl could go and spend the day with her dad.
Yes.
Off in the swamp with the trout stream.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I remember those days.
Yes, I can remember working on my grandfather's farm near Portage in the summertime, and the only time we really got to go fishing was a rainy day. And it was often good fishing, too. But farm work is done when the sun shines. So I say, When a good day for mowing the lawn is not a good day for trout fishing.
True. Yeah. True.
Thanks, Ruth.
It was nice to, like I said, a little girl to spend the day with her dad fishing.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling. That's one thing I really enjoy about my daughter, Emily, and I have had so many wonderful experiences fishing.
Yes.
It's something you never, you always have with you.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, I went to my Facebook page, and Karen sent a photo. She says, a picture I painted, and I don't know if you can see it over on your side there, of a trout fisher. Someone fishing trout, fly casting, and it looks like a beautiful painting.
It's amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much for sending that.
Yes.
And actually, if you're listening, if you're near your computer, go online to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show and take a look. It's really quite striking. And we have Andrew on Facebook, any comments regarding Roger Kerr's efforts to get us fishing again?
Yes, there was recently an article in La Crosse Tribune, and they called me for some comments. Roger Kerr, of course, is very concerned about fishing in the early season and being able to keep trout during the early season. So He actually wanted to get arrested by the DNR for fishing illegally in order to get attention to what he was promoting. And it happened. He did get arrested, and it brought about a good article in La Crosse Tribune. So I think Roger was pleased that he got the attention that he really wanted to get.
There you go. Drake on Facebook posted some photos of his favorite trout fishing spots, and just a beautiful photography there. We don't know the exact spots, but it's somewhere on the Peshtigo River in Forest County.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Peshtigo River is our longest trout stream. And a lot of people don't know this, but the Kickapoo River is the second longest trout stream in Wisconsin. It's 60 miles long, but there's 72 miles of trout water in the Peshtigo River.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes.
Harold in Madison, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hey, great show, guys. I'm about 28, and I do a lot of fly fishing, and I see the sport to be dominated by people who are, I guess, a little later in their lives. Mm-hmm. What efforts have you seen or can you recommend to kind of keep people into fishing and trout fishing and kind of keep it going forward?
Yeah, okay, good question. Trout Fest, which the Coulee Region chapter of Trout Unlimited puts on every year, and they have fly fishermen there to teach children how to fly fish, and they also have fishing for the children regardless of how they fish. The DNR puts in a lot of trout in Coon Creek, right where Trout Fest takes place in the park in Coon Valley. And a year ago, we had over 200 young children fishing trout. And most of them were catching trout. So if you can fish trout and catch trout, I think you'll get hooked. And so I think Coulee Region of Trout Unlimited is doing a good job on getting youngsters interested in trout fishing.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Awesome.
Thanks, Harold.
Thanks.
And quick comment from Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I'm wondering, with the increasing number of anglers coming from all over the country to the Driftless area, is Jay concerned at all about that we're going to love those streams to death?
No. You know, I was fishing yesterday morning, and one of the most heavily fished trout streams, and one of the places it's fished the most heavily, and that was at the campground on the West Fork of the Kickapoo right near Avalanche. And there was nobody there but me. So during the week, I don't fish much on weekends. I think it was John Bethke that said, we'll leave that to the Patriots. I fish during the week and thoroughly enjoy it and have a lot of solitude out there.
Jay Ford Thurston, thank you so much. His first book, Spring Creek Reward, where do we get it?
It can be purchased just about anywhere online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It can be purchased in Viroqua at Bramble Books, and I sell it also at Farmer's Market in Viroqua.
Well, I tell you what, thank you so much. I hope we have a chance to do this again. And, Jay, it's a real pleasure. Appreciate it very much. Jay Thurston, author of Spring Creek Reward, that's one of his two books. His other, Spring Creek Treasure, Wisconsin's 100 Best Trout Streams. You should take a look at both of them. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening here on the Ideas Network.